From Montreal, Quebec, this is The Bard Brawl.
See who needs music. Interludes, I can do it. Welcome, Bard Brawlers. It's Valentine's week. And this is The Bard Brawl. And because it's Valentine's, it is sonnet time. Eric Jean.
Hey.
Do you have plans for Valentine's Day?
None that I can discuss.
Oh. Surprise plans.
Yeah, no, not
or
much.
Or illegal Rochelle and I, plans.
No. Rochelle and I aren't big Valentine's people. We'll probably just hang out at home, watch a movie or something, relax.
It's wise not
That's
to be...
That's romantic.
It's wise not to be big Valentine's Day people, because I used to work at a restaurant, and if there's one night that's amateur hour, it's Valentine's Day. Every yes. guy who's never been out or doesn't go out, doesn't take his girlfriend or wife out, they go out on Valentine's Day, and they have no idea how to behave at a restaurant. So for all you lovers out there going out to a restaurant, it's a place of business.
Black shirt with black tie isn't classy. Just black on black, that it doesn't work.
Baseball cap doesn't work either.
Yeah.
Think about your outfit. Think about where you're going.
Wear deodorant.
Maybe be normal. Be calm. Be casual and just enjoy the night. Yes. That just brought back a series of horrible memories.
Valentine's Day's past.
Valentine's Day past. Well, it's Valentine's week. We have decided that this week should be Sonnet Week. We haven't done a Sonnet podcast for a while.
That's true.
We did the first five sonnets, sonnets one through five. Can you tell us basic idea of what those sonnets entail, what they're like, what we're looking at?
Well, the same theme is explored by Shakespeare in a bunch of different ways, but the basic premise of these, the first sonnets, is they're addressed to presumably a young man, a young nobleman, who is probably more concerned with partying and hanging out with his friends than taking his noble obligation seriously, which is go out, get married, have an heir, and secure your family's lineage. And so this apparently is why they were commissioned. Anyways,
this is part of the first 17 sonnets. We'll be listening to the sonnets 6 through 12, or 6 through 11 in this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Sonnet 6. This is Laura Pelliser reading Sonnet 6.
Sonnet 6. Then let not winter's ragged hand deface, in thee thy summer air thou be distilled. Make sweet some vile treasure thou some place, with beauty's treasure ere it be self-killed. That use is not usury, which happy's thou that pay the willing loan. That's for thyself to breed another thee, or 10 times happier be it 10 for 1. 10 times thyself were happier than thou art, if 10 of thine 10 times refigured thee. Then what could death do if thou shouldst depart, leaving thee living in prosperity? Be not self-willed, for thou art much too fair. Be death's conquest, and make worms thine heir.
Math
and seasons.
Math and seasons.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this before, the seasons.
Yeah.
Again, the subject doesn't change. Mm-hmm. The basic idea doesn't change, but the poem changes.
Yeah, the poem changes, and some of the images that most of the time Shakespeare will use an image and stretch it out over a bunch of lines and mix it up with other ones. That's kind of how the transitions work. So we start with the seasons. And the seasons are saying, okay, well, it's summer now, but soon it'll be winter. So then he talks about putting some of that youth in a vial, sort of storing it away from the seasons to keep it for later on. And then he gets into this multiplication thing where he's like, okay, have ten children. And then if those 10 children have 10 children, and he's sort of setting up this argument of like exponential.
And that in having children would ensure the posterity that would die if you didn't.
Yeah, exactly. The loving yourself too much is, sort of keeping yourself selfishly to yourself is what's going to cause the problem.
Our sonneteers are all asked by me or whoever to read these sonnets, and they've not read them before.
Yeah.
Some of them asked to read them through once, but what I really like about this, and this is sort of my own take on it, and we mentioned it before, is the different ways that these girls, it's all girls for these 17, mm-hmm. Read it. Because, like, Laura, she wasn't reading it in that da-da, da-da, da-da. She was sort of just reading it as written, and it works really well. Now let's listen to Sonnet 7.
Sonnet 7. Lo, in the Orient, when the gracious light lifts up his burning head, each under eye doth homage to his new appearing sight, serving with looks his sacred majesty, and having climbed the steep up heavenly hill, resembling strong youth in his middle age, yet mortal looks adore his beauty still. Attending on his golden pilgrimage, but when from highmost pitch, with weary car like feeble age, he reeleth from the day, the eyes, foreduteous, now converted are from his low tracts and look another way. So thou diest outgoing in thy noon, and looked on diest, unless thou get a son.
Always end with a pun. Good writing advice.
Pun, where's the pun? Sorry.
Well, the whole poem is set up on this description of what the sun does in a day, right? So it rises in the east, and you're attentive, and you think the sunrise is beautiful, and then it gets to noon, and you still looks radiant and young, and then it gets to the sort of decline in the west when it sets, where at that point you're no longer staring at the sun, you're staring at the stars and at the moon. And Shakespeare ends with the word sun, which of course means having a kid, but...
Mm-hmm. It's clever. That was Melissa Myers. I bugged her. She's living in Alberta.
Yeah.
And I really liked... she read a few of them for us when she was here, and I wanted to do sort of a long-distance sonneteer, and so she did this to me on her BlackBerry.
Awesome.
She reads... She has a really great voice.
Yeah.
She was on Merchant of Venice Act 5. She read...
Yeah, she was Jessica. She was great.
And she had one of my favorite lines all time. And if you're in a romantic mood, listen to Act 5 of Merchant of Venice. It's the romance. Or
it's also the you're secretly thinking of breaking up with them a week and a half after Valentine's Day speech.
Might be worth listening to. I like this. I like the sort of that line, serving with looks on his sacred majesty and having climbed the steep up heavenly hill, resembling strong youth in his middle age, yet mortal looks adore his beauty still. It's sort of a god-esque,
yeah.
Olympia, top of the mountain. And the low in the Orient, where starting with that, kind of brings you to another world. Orientalism aside,
yes,
we'll just forgive that.
Well, I mean, it's this stuff was, you know, came up all the time,
yeah,
back then. So
it's a very, I kind of like number 7.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Sonnet 8.
Sonnet 8. Music to hear, why hearest thou music sadly? Sweets with sweets war not, joy delights in joy. Why lovest thou that which thou receivest not gladly, or else receivest with pleasure thine annoy? If the true concord of well-tuned sounds, by unions married, do offend thine ear, they do but sweetly chide thee, who confounds in singleness the parts that thou shouldst bear. Mark how one string, sweet husband to another, strikes each in each by mutual ordering, resembling sire and child and happy mother, who, all in one, one pleasing note do sing, whose speechless song, being many, seeming one, sings this to thee, thou single wilt prove none.
That's Virginie Tremblay. She's done a number of songs. She's actually been... a Barb Brawler as well.
Yeah.
She did a
yeah.
Taming of the Shrew episode. I like her voice. She reads, she enunciates very well.
Mm-hmm.
The words come out very clear and very sort of smoothly.
It's funny you should mention that Act 5 of Merchant of Venice, because this sonnet sort of makes me think about that when it starts.
Music,
off.
Yeah.
Sweet music, right? And Jessica's not happy when she hears music.
Yeah.
This is kind of the opposite. Well, kind of the opposite. Basically saying that the music that you're playing out of tune, basically, if you're playing by yourself. So, shack up.
Although, I when I thought of this, this American Life episode that was about the breakup, and there was a particular point where they were talking about breakup songs and how much music is written about just the agony of breaking up, which is not really appropriate here because they would suggest that the best music is played when you're with someone. And with someone, this is one of the ones that actually mentions mother, like resembling sire and child and happy mother. And not to criticize the argument that this is proof that Shakespeare was gay, but
if he even really existed, if he even really wrote these songs, yeah. I mean, who knows? Really, could be anyone.
But this does seem like he's advising, almost advising through poem. You know, you've got your have a kid with your wife. Stop gallivanting. I almost feel like he's criticizing a sort of like dandiness, like this young. Well, although it seems clear after. I mean, we're only on 8. We've still got,
you know, a few
9 more to go where he's talking to the same person about the same thing.
But it's kind of tricky though because there's a lot of arguments that say that these were commissioned, that he didn't write these out of the goodness of his heart or because he felt inclined to do so, but someone gave him money and said, write a bunch of sonnets for my son, have him stop. And, you know, so I don't know if it's necessarily Shakespeare's feelings on it, but he at least acknowledges the biological fact that you need a woman if you're going to make this happen.
Unlike now, where poets only write out of the goodness of their artistic expression.
They have
and
no
all
interest
artists
in, no interest
in all media. Nobody wants to get paid now, so we can criticize that. Let's listen to Kayla Cross. Kayla, who I often, she works with me, and she's the assistant that works in the office. When I hear someone's voice I like, I will not stop until I have them read a sonnet for me, because it's just great. And you'll hear why as you've heard for these previous 3, this is Kayla Cross.
Sonnet number 9. Is it for fear to wet a widow's eye that thou's consumed thyself in single life? Ah, if thou issueless shall hap to die, the world will wail thee like a makeless wife. The world will be thy widow and still weep, and thou no form of thee hast left behind. When every private widow will may keep, but children's eyes her husband's shape in mind. Look, what an unthrift in the world doth spend, shifts but his place, for still the world enjoys it. But beauty's waste hath in the world an end, and kept unused in user so destroys it. No love toward others in that bosom sits, that on himself such murderous shame commits.
Murderous shame. That's intense.
Mm-hmm.
I like is it for fear to wet a widow's eye that thou consumest thyself in single life? Is it for fear, as if you're scared to make
your future wife
cry, you'll just stay single so you won't have to, you'll savor that pain. There's something really...
It's kind of weird and
morbid.
It's
very Henry James almost. Like, it's this... really morbid. I just like it. It's so weird.
This is a pretty strange one.
I remember when I was younger when I was going to evangelical churches, and we would go to these very well-meaning camps. But when you have young boys, you have to tell them to not have sex with anybody. That's one of the rules, and very good because young boys should probably be having sex and ruining everyone's life. But one of the lines they would use is, don't ever do anything that you wouldn't want someone else doing with your future wife. Like this sort of guilt that you shouldn't do anything that in the future when you get married, you wouldn't want someone to have done with the girl you marry in the future.
I'm a pretty open-minded person. This camp may not have... that logic may not have worked for me very well.
It didn't really... work well for most of the people I grew up with, but it was an interesting, and this is very similar.
Yeah.
Why are you not doing this because you don't want to make a future woman sad?
There's also the funny thing. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go on.
I was just going to say, a lot of the time in Shakespeare's day, widows were associated with money, too. And he talks about spending, right? And this comes up often in the sonnets of, like, beauty and youth as, like, something to be traded. But that has, you know, but like a reverse usury. Like, the more you spend it, the more you have of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's this, like the opposite argument of your camp argument. Yeah. Go out and sow. Yeah. Maybe something will stick.
Well, because if you have a widow, at least she has a son to take care of her. There's the widow
and
is
remind
repeated
her of you.
Here. It's really cheeky.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of these ones are really cheeky. I know that we meaning you and me, tend to prefer the later sonnets when he gets into the dark woman and all that kind of really great stuff. It's, you know,
and the STDs
127,
you know, all
on
that stuff.
But these are, when you look at them one by one like we've been doing on the Bar Brawl,
you almost get the sense of an inside joke, right?
Yeah.
Like that he's writing these and this is fooling mom and dad, but the guy who's reading these sonnets is going, yeah, I hear you, Will. Don't worry. I know that you're just doing this to get the money from my dad, but you don't really care, and that this is all a big joke to make some money off the old man. Like, it just seems like maybe it's this big inside joke he's got going with this guy.
Sonnet 10. For shame deny that thou bear'st love to any who for thyself art so unprovident. Grant, if thou wilt, that art beloved of many, but that thou now lov'st is most evident. For thou art so possessed with murderous hate that against thyself thou stick'st not to conspire, seeking that beauteous roof to ruinate, which to repair should be thy chief desire. Oh, change thy thought that I may change my mind. Shall hate be fairer lodged than gentle love? Be as thy presence is gracious and kind, or to thyself at least kind-hearted prove. Make thee another self for love of me, that beauty still may live in thine or thee.
Maya was our first ever sonneteer and our first ever play that we did. She also was in, if you listen to Sonnets 1 through 5, she was here to
comment.
Obviously understands poetry, obviously reads it like she's read it before. She had no problem going right into it. What did you make a 10?
I like 10. It's violent. It's very, you know, the murderess comes up again, and the Shakespeare or the speaker makes it very personal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is about, not about you then, it's about me. If you love me, you'll have a son.
For thou art so possessed with murderous hate that gainst thyself thou stickest not to conspire, seeking that beauteous roof to ruinate, which to repair should be thy chief desire. You should be fixing it, but you're murdering it. It's intense.
Yeah, that's pretty intense.
I like how the one thing that artists now tend to have this, like, I got to do something original. It's got to never been done before. He's writing the same, like we've mentioned time and time again, he's writing the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
And yet there's this infusion at times. It's very passive. At times it's very aggressive. At times it's about money. At times it's about senses. And he sort of explores it all, and I feel that is one of the great things about these sonnets and about other groupings of sonnets like that, where you can take just one thing, whether it's commissioned or not, to do it, and just sort of go over it over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he's commissioned to do it doesn't change. I mean, that really is how poetry was done. It was like, let's do variations. The same way that classical music has variations on the same theme. It was, invention was a particular, very particular kind of invention. Like, can you make this old thing fresh?
Yeah.
And surprising.
Well, and we look at the plays we do, they're all based on source text or source work, at least. All right, and the last one for this podcast is Sonnet 11.
Sonnet 11. As fast as thou shalt wane, so fast thou growest. In one of thine from that which thou departest, and that fresh blood which youngly thou bestowest, thou mayest call thine when thou from youth convertest. Herein lives wisdom, beauty, and increase. Without this, folly, age, and cold decay. If all were minded so, the times should cease, and their score year would make the world away. Let thou whom nature hath not made for store, harsh, featureless, and rude, barrenly perish. Look whom she best endowed she gave the more, which bounteous gift thou shouldest in bounty cherish. She carved thee for her seal and meant thereby. Thou shouldest print more, not let that copy die.
Nice Xerox sort of comparison there.
little Xeroxing. Esther Virag, who read that one, English being her third language, her first being Hungarian, second being French. She's one of my favorites because she reads it almost staccato.
Yeah.
And it's...
It highlights the kind of rhythm that the sonnets were written in, actually.
Yeah, so some people, when we talk about this, I don't want to read, I can't do it. Like, they're feeling like Shakespeare's this impossible mountain to bear. Like, Esther, my hero, proves that you don't... We've had people read it, read in the Bard Brawl, both the book club group and on tape, that don't read like an actor. They're not reading like some poet, some lofty, and that's what I really like about getting different voices.
I also like when the people reading make mistakes, because it shows their brain sometimes correcting words, and they're substituting words that seem to make more sense. I don't know. I always think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
When little missteps happen.
Mispronunciations and how language has changed. And this is, Renaissance England. And you've got a different language, a different sound that you're hearing. Yeah. And that's really great. The poem itself, a little bit preachy. This is a little less. as far as these first 11 have gone, not my favorite, but
no.
He has this very preachy. If all were minded so, the time should cease, and 80 years would make the world away.
Yeah,
everyone's gonna be gone.
Die because
people thinks like you. Like that's got to be probably one of the guiltiest. Father guilt trip lines.
Yeah, the Catholic Church probably would have loved to make use of this.
Yeah.
In the province of Quebec, they practically did. But the it's very grim too. It's very like apocalyptic. Have kids or the world will end.
She carved thee for her seal and meant thereby thou shouldst print more and not let that copy die. It's very cold and direct. Yeah.
But it's also, I think that's also reference. I mean, that's a reference to print. So in a weird, and that's how, movable type print worked. You sort of set it up, put some ink on it, and then just stamped out copies.
Now, out of all the people we've had read thus far, you and myself and you and myself, Maya, none of us have kids.
I have cats.
I have a cat, too. Yeah. Okay. That's the end of this. We look through the first five previously. Mm-hmm. Please go to barbrawl.com. By the way, check out the artwork. Lee McRae has done the artwork for both the previous speeches podcast and this sonnet podcast. It's great. I really like it. Go to barbrawl.com. You can see a copy of it and leave a comment as what you think. Mm-hmm. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at the Bard Brawl. Jay Reed, our social media coordinator, has been putting sonnet quotes all week for Valentine's Day.
Yes. Very busy. He's earning his substantial pay.
He's earning his, we forked out quite a bit for Jay Reed. Well, when it's Jay Reed, you got to pay.
You got to pay.
Yeah, it's like Scott Gomez. Ouch. Sorry, Jay. That wasn't intentional. Leave a comment on which poem you find particularly moving. If you found something in any of these sonnets that we have missed or you think should be highlighted, we do go through them pretty quickly, but you're welcome to comment on them. You can do that on either bardbrawl.com. You can email us at bardbrawl@gmail.com or leave a comment on Facebook. You can like us on Facebook, too. So many ways to contact. So many.
Reach out and touch a brawler.
Reach out and touch a brawler, please. Some of them need it more than others. All right. Enjoy Valentine's week. We will be with you shortly for Sonnets 12 through 17.
Yeah.